You're listening to a Sunday service podcast from First Universalist Church of Minneapolis, a faith community that welcomes, affirms, and protects the light in each human heart, listens deeply to where love is calling us next, and with humility, courage, and compassion, works to create a more just world. To learn more, visit us at firstuniversalistchurch.org.
Good morning, First Universalist. Please rise in body or spirit. Join me in singing hymn number 1018, Come and Go With Me. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go.
Hello, my name is Isla Meisenberg. I'm part of the senior high group, the youth leadership group, and I work here in the toddler room here at church. When I started OWL, I was embarrassed to be there. I was sitting in a classroom with these people I had known for a decently long time, And we were talking about puberty, sexuality, and all of the weird things that you get embarrassed about when your parents bring them up. But one day during school, my friend asked me if I knew where she could get birth control because she hated how annoying her periods were. She knew that I already knew all of the places, so I gave her my folder. The next day, she gave it back to me, and that was it. I was happy to help, and I was happy that she was happy. Later that year, during the summer, my friend asked me, "Isla, I missed my school sex ed day." I asked him, "What do you mean by a sex ed day?" And he said, "A single day where they learned about sex ed in school." I thought that was hilarious. I laughed, and he looked at me in the weirdest way possible. So I gave him my folder, and then he gave it back to me after a week. Earlier this year, we had to write a paper about something we really enjoyed. Looking back, I knew I wanted to write something about one of the things that really helped me the most. So I wrote an essay on OWL. My teacher said, 5 pages, and I said, "Are you trying to kill me? That is way too little. I need at least 7. So she told me that I could present something to the class to say some of the things that I didn't fit in my paper. So that's what I did. For 20 minutes of my class, I talked to my friends and classmates about the one thing that I was most passionate about, OWL. It was amazing. They had no idea there was actual good sex ed education outside that wasn't just from school. They asked me so many questions and they wanted to know more. So I gave them the resources I had and I gave some of them the folder. For some people, it might be uncomfortable talking about sex, but even if it's uncomfortable and you're going, "Oh God, why are we talking about this?" it is important. Being able to have the awkward, uncomfortable, and difficult conversations in a place without judgment or shame is so important. For all of you who are in OWL at any level, you are having some of those important conversations, and I wish you the best of luck, and I hope that you make some very memorable times. And for all of you who are thinking about going into OWL or who are thinking about putting your kids into OWL, absolutely. It is amazing. I will be in the social hall after this, selling artwork that I have made. All of the funds will be going directly to the OWL program to help it make it even better for all of those who are going to join it and for all of the people who want to know more.
Thanks, Isla. Good morning. Yes, every single day, First Universalist Church of Minneapolis is working its magic in the world, in the community, to make a difference for the world in the name of love and peace. Sometimes that can be a bit theoretical. It can be a little hazy to see the direct connection, how we make power real. Today is not one of those days. It will be very clear because one of the greatest things that we do in the world is called OWL, our whole lives. It's our human sexuality, sex and sexuality program that gives kids, adults, the tools that they need to deepen their relationships with themselves, their bodies, with each other in the world and in the community, between relationships and between hearts. This is good work. And it's a work that we all need our whole lives long. So our service is led by representatives of our OWL classes, 8th and 5th grade. And thank you already for what you are contributing to our community and what you are contributing to the world of lives. I am Glenn Thomas Rideout. I'm glad to be with you as Director of Worship Arts Ministries, and the 8th grade OWL class has representatives leading us, and the 5th grade OWL class has representation leading us, and John and Rob are leading us, and Sylvia is leading us, and Amy is leading us, and Paolo is leading us from the piano, and oh my goodness, look who I found. It's Reverend Jen. Welcome back. Glad to have you all with us. You are very welcome here. We have hands and hearts of all kinds helping to keep our community and our community's worship strong. I highlight our visual artists who are responsible for the banners behind me and an installation coming up that'll knock our socks off, and Betty DeMars for helping us with the flowers. Make sure those are not just decorations to you. They are visual guides to meditation. Use them as you use all the words in this time as a key and a conduit to worship. I'd like to welcome Allison to your pulpit.
Thanks, Glenn Thomas. Good morning, folks. So good to be here. My name is Allison Connolly-Vetter. I use she and her pronouns. I'm the Interim Director of Children, Youth, and Families here at First Universalist Church. When Glenn Thomas and Claire and I conceptualized this service many months ago in September, we didn't know the exact shape that it would take, but we knew that it was really important to our mission and our ministry here at this congregation, and we wanted to get a chance to talk with all of you about what we talk with so many of our kids and youth about every Sunday. This service and our Whole Lives program would not exist without some really fabulous, dedicated, committed leadership. And I want to recognize some of those leaders now, beginning with Claire Trolley. Claire, can you wave or stand? Woo! Claire is our OWL program coordinator. She is responsible for all of the grades of OWL. For the past few weeks, we've had four OWL classes meeting every Sunday, and Claire is in charge of all of them. So that's first grade OWL, fifth grade OWL, eighth grade OWL, and 12th grade OWL. And Claire works all year long to get us ready for our programming, to support our facilitators, and to lead our classes. Yeah! The total rock star, a really, really cherished member of our staff team here at First Universalist. I also want to recognize our Whole Lives facilitators. Now, being a facilitator is not just walking into a classroom on a Sunday morning. It takes hours, almost 30 hours of training to become an OWL facilitator. And then on top of that, most of our facilitators for eighth grade work every Sunday, and our first, fifth, and 12th grade facilitators work every Sunday when their classes are in session. It's a real commitment, a real act of love for this congregation. So if you've ever been trained as an OWL facilitator and served in this congregation or another, can you please raise your hand for me? Let's see where you are. Thank you. For the past few Sundays, it's taken 20 facilitators every Sunday to make OWL happen, and that is because of you. I am so proud of this worship service. I am so excited for it, and I commend it to your participation. Thanks so much.
You help us light the chalice. And as we light the chalice, go right ahead. As Sylvia lights the chalice, I invite you to the words that we use to seal our covenant of community with one another. It starts with the all-important word, love. Will you begin with me? Let's say, love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Thank you so much. And now, a story.
Once upon a time, there were two kinds, this and that, these and those, one or the other. Until...
Honk! What kind are you?
I'm both.
You can't be both. You must be neither.
I'm neither?
Neither tried to play a this game.
You can't play with us. You're not rabbity enough.
Neither tried to play a that game.
You can't play with us. You're not birdie enough. Why don't you find somewhere else? You're not one of us. You're neither. Neither, neither, neither. Ha! Where did you come from?
Honk. I'm from the land of this and that, but I'm neither. So I'm looking for somewhere else to fit in.
This isn't somewhere else, but you'll fit in here.
Where is here? So many different kinds.
The land of all.
Come play with us.
But I'm different from everyone here. I'm neither red, nor orange, nor yellow, nor blue.
Exactly. Excuse us. We're from the land of this and that, but we don't fit in at home. We're looking for somewhere else.
But you said I was neither. You said I should go somewhere else. Well, this isn't somewhere else. This is the land of all, and everyone fits in here.
Once upon a time, there were many different kinds. This and that, somewhat and whatnot. Either very, sort of, just, rather, a little, neither, and both. And all were welcome.
Please join me in singing hymn number 299, Make Channels for the Streams of Love. Love.
I invite us to settle in together into a time of quiet and meditation, a time of noticing. In this time of fewer words, I invite you to come into your body, to notice perhaps the places where your feet touch the floor, your body touches the pew. To take a moment to shake out anything you need to let go of. A chance to arrive here together in our practice of three shared breaths. This is a space of remembering, a space of remembering all of who we are, all of what matters. This is a space and a place where we remember we are our whole lives, our whole bodies. This is a place where we resist the disconnection our culture asks of us. Disconnection from each other, from our planet, from our very selves. Here we remember and say thank you. Thank you to these bodies of ours, these bodies that take very particular shapes and expressions, and yet in some ways are very much alike. Thank you for this interconnection through the air we breathe, the food we eat, the senses we experience. Thank you for remembering we are constantly in exchange, in an exchange of air and life together. Thank you for this place where we remember our wholeness, where we remember we are more than a brain precariously perched on top of a body, but in fact we are whole and holy and worthy exactly as we are. Exactly as we have been, exactly as we will be. In this space of appreciation and connection, we remember too that our bodies teach us again and again that each and every one of us is an integral part of the cycle of life that turns for us all. Whether we are in times of sickness and celebration, suffering or joy, birth and death, and all that comes between and beyond in our lives. This morning we add our prayers for all who are suffering, for all those who are locked in the devastating impact of violence and war, for those who are told and treated as though their bodies are not their own, for those struggling with addiction or heartbreak, exhaustion or illness, oppression, pain, or the long wait of uncertainty. We give thanks for the ways that life comes through, for new beginnings and returning breath, for the warmth of connection and the sharing of simple care, for beauty and inspiration and joy. And I invite you now to bring to mind, to say out loud or hold quietly in your heart, the names of those you are holding in care this morning. And together we pray that the grip of addiction might be loosened, that the weight of oppression might be lightened, that grief might be shared and joy might break through, and that love might make every suffering bearable for us all. Amen. I forgot to say, my name is Jen Crow, and my pronouns are she and her. And I am so very grateful to be back at church with you all after being away for a time. I'm grateful for your care, and I'm very grateful for the ways that you care for one another and for this church community. I know that while I have been away, we have launched into the season of stewardship, the season where we support one another with our resources of time and energy and money, and that in this time, we are talking with one another about how we can do this together. So I am very grateful to invite Sarah and Jack to come forward to share with us about what this place means to them and how we might support our collective vision.
Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. These words are the foundation of our covenant that we commit to every Sunday. For me, love and service are what has kept me a member of First Universalist for over 23 years. Hello, my name is Sarah Huser, and this is my husband, Jack Daniels. We're happy to speak to each of you today about why we give our time and money to church. Since joining First Universalist, I have felt called to volunteer in many different roles to both help our church community and help me embody our UU values. My most consistent volunteering has been in our RE programs, where I've taught RE for the past 22 years. Yeah. You bet. This year, when the budget didn't allow hiring a replacement for Emma's role, I increased my commitment and am currently the volunteer coming of age coordinator, which entails 10 to 20 hours a week. The values, community, purpose, and meaning that youth experience in RE, I think, is essential to our future. I'm grateful to have the privilege of spending my time with our RE programs and youth. As we affirm during joys and concerns, we are not alone. We are holding it together. And in order to do so, we need people to commit their time and money to this church.
Wow. The view from up here is great. This is so cool. I am so glad you are here. I am so happy to be here with you on this early Sunday morning. You made it. It's terrific. I love this church. I love you. We are the church, and it's the values and the covenant of this church that I aspire to bring to everything I do. It's aspirational. It's a big ask, but that's what I want. And without this church, I would not have that. When I love something, I support it. Ask my cats. Lots of boxes that say Chewy on them keep showing up. Sarah and I are increasing our pledge this year, like so many people have stood up here and said, because we love this church. And when you love it, I believe we have to support it. Wow.
Thank you both. Thanks for affirming what I love too on Sunday mornings, getting to see your faces and be here all together. And thank you both for being some of the people, like so many of you, who I know we can call on at any time and say, hey, we need help with X, Y, Z, and here you are. Thank you so much for that. Here at church, it is one of the places we get to practice being in a mutually supportive community, a place where we practice giving and receiving and growing together, where we take turns in sharing as we can and receiving as we need to. So I always want to remind us that in this time, if you need to receive whether that is pastoral care, whether that is company, whether that is financial resources, please do reach out to us. Thanks to the generosity of this congregation, we have resources to share. If this is a time when you can give of your financial resources, it's a really good day to do that. Your gifts will go to support the work of the church right here and now, and we encourage you to return those pledge cards, which let us know how much you intend to give for the year ahead so that we can plan how to fund our collective vision. Today's offering will go to support the work of our church. And also, if today is a day where you can give of your time and resources, right after the service, meet up in the narthex for a few minutes of labeling and stuffing envelopes. Super fun. Great way to give. Our offering will now be received.
Going. We have some more music for you.
knows what is hiding in those weak and drunken hearts. I guess you kissed the girls and made them cry, those hard-faced queens of misadventure. God knows what is hiding in those weak and sunken eyes, a fiery throng of muted angels giving love but getting nothing back.
Oh, people,
help the people,
and if you're homesick, give me a hand and I'll hold it. People,
help the people,
nothing will drag you down. Oh, and if I had a brain,
oh, and if I had a brain,
I'd be cold as a stone and rich as the fool
that turned all those good hearts away.
God knows what is hiding in this world of little consequence. Behind the tears, inside the lies, a thousand slowly dying sunsets. God knows what is hiding in those weak and drunken hearts. I guess the loneliness came knocking. No one needs to be alone, oh save me. People,
help the people,
and if you're homesick, give me your hand and I'll hold it. People,
help the people,
and nothing will drag you down. Oh, and if I had to pray,
oh, and if I had a brain,
I'd be cold as a stone and rich as the fool
that turned all those good hearts away.
Those are some awesome eighth graders, huh? For our reading this morning, we're going to be listening to something that I wrote about 5 years ago. I wrote it acknowledging that some OWL classes are built up in our minds and can be hard. We play this song at the start of this class to release the tension. Often, we'll play it again because it's easy to surrender to the smooth rhythm. Musical Talents by Andrew Trolley.
Birds do it, porcupines do it, though they maneuver round their spines to do it. Let's do it, let's masturbate in Minnesota. Teens from all over do it. People from Waro to Winona do it. Let's do it. Let's menage a moi. I'm sure the hornets any dine do it. Not to mention your friends, folks in Denham do it. Spend all day slamming the clam. Some say it's naughty, but it's your body. It's a smart and safe, healthy hobby. Owl says it's a great way to know yourself. You're normal if you do it or don't do it. No matter what goes through your head when you do it, let's do it. Then wash your hands. Seriously, wash your hands. Guardians do it. Parents do it. Grandparents camping out in tents do it. Let's do it. Let's diddle the skittle. Gay, straight, bi, trans with their hands do it. Not to mention queer folks, all body types of all stripes are finding something to stroke. It might feel right late at night to do it. At home alone, it's quite all right to do it. Let's do it. Let's masturbate.
I'll be out in a minute, Mom.
How do you follow that? I mean, good morning. My name is Jill Ferris. I use she, her pronouns. I am one of the eighth grade OWL instructors here at First Universalist Church. Yes. I also serve as the Director of Adolescent Sexual Health Training and Education at the Healthy Youth Development Prevention Research Center at the University of Minnesota. It's a lot of words, right? But since 2018, I have been teaching OWL here at First U, which means I show up every week from September through May to talk to teenagers about relationships, birth control, consent, masturbation, with jazz hands, pornography, and more. So why do I do this? Simply put, because sex ed saves lives. When I was in seventh grade, an abstinence only until marriage speaker visited my small town in South Dakota. To paint a picture small, I had a graduating high school class of 36. You couldn't walk around my town without someone offering to give you a ride somewhere. You couldn't take a walk. It was not possible. It was a very small place where everyone knew everyone. And the speaker that day discussed the negatives of engaging in sex before marriage, urging us to save our future ourselves for our future spouses. Though frankly, the message seemed a little more directed at the girls than it did at the boys. She then invited anyone who had had sex before to participate in a re-virginization ceremony on stage in front of the whole town. Yeah. Even my 12-year-old self, as sheltered as I was, sensed something profoundly wrong with this approach. And years later, discussing it with my parents, who had attended, they had admitted their discomfort with this and hoped that this would be an educational moment for me. And it certainly was, but not in the way that they or anyone else might have expected. It really, at that moment, taught me the importance of ensuring that no young person ever feels as helpless and ashamed as I did that day in that auditorium. When I say that sex ed saves lives, I'm not exaggerating. It provides people with the right information to better care for their bodies, leading to fewer sexually transmitted infections, unplanned pregnancies, and cases of reproductive coercion. It's about preventing cervical cancers or catching them early, addressing health issues that might otherwise be ignored due to shame or fear. Sex ed fosters a culture of equality across genders and sexual orientations, challenging harmful norms and reducing violence and discrimination. But it's not all serious, as you just saw with our lovely song there. Teaching sex ed brings lots of moments of hilarity, and all the folks who raised their hands earlier that have been trained in OWL are well aware of this. So from, of course, Claire Trolley's wonderful song about masturbation, complete with jazz hands. You can only imagine the reactions that gets among the students in our class when we play that. To a condom relay race at our overnight retreat. So yes, those of you who haven't yet been to the overnight retreat, get ready for the condom relay race. It'll be happening this spring. And even a kid asking me if HIV was the same as ADHD. No, they're not the same. No, they're not the same. A particularly memorable moment for me was walking into Senator Amy Klobuchar's office last fall to advocate for sex ed legislation, only to find out that one of the senator's interns was a youth member of this congregation who had just gone through OWL a few years before this. I know. Turns out I did not need to convince them of the importance of sex ed. They already knew. And teaching sex ed at this church doesn't just arm individuals with vital knowledge and skills, it often turns them into passionate advocates and policymakers. Sex ed gives young people knowledge and skills to be themselves, to challenge rigid gender norms, reduce instances of homophobic and transphobic violence, sexual violence, and gender-based discrimination. Sex ed also curtails bullying, including homophobic bullying. For some students, this education is immediately life-saving. Calling trans students by their preferred names can drastically reduce the chances of suicide and self-harm. Furthermore, sex ed teaches the skills to nurture healthy relationships, which has a direct impact on our well-being and even on our life expectancy. Strong, healthy relationships help us manage stress effectively, problem solve, and overcome life's challenges. They're also critical in addressing sexual violence and toxic relationships. In stepping into this space each week, teaching OWL becomes far more for me than a mere extension of my professional life. It transforms into a profound expression of my deepest values, a testament to our shared commitment to nurturing a compassionate, informed, and just community. Every laugh shared, every challenging question tackled, and every moment of understanding reached among our youth not only enriches their lives, but it also renews my faith in the power of collective action. I extend this invitation to each of you to find your calling within this beloved community, to act with courage and love, and to join me in this ongoing journey of education, advocacy, and transformation. Together, let's continue to build a world where every individual is empowered to live with dignity, respect, and a deep sense of belonging. Thank you for the honor of sharing this path with you.
Hey, y'all. My name is Claire Trolley. I use she, her pronouns, and I am the proud OWL program coordinator here at First Universalist Church. When I became an OWL facilitator over a decade ago, my initial dream was to give at least one person a more inclusive and better information than I had received. Today, my dream has evolved to the bold belief that we can change the culture we are raising our children and ourselves to fully embrace OWL goals and values. We're here to break down complex issues, offering judgment-free information, affirming every identity, exploring our deepest values, and examining the impacts of family, culture, religion, and media on us. And where better to tackle the tough topics of consent, gender identity, healthy relationships, and reproductive choice than here, grounded in our UU principles. Before I go any further, I want to repeat what was already shared. This OWL program absolutely could not exist without the 20-plus volunteer OWL facilitators educating our youngest learners to our wisest elders. You are the true heroes of this story. I want to thank all of our OWLettes, our youth in the OWL program who show up week after week knowing we might talk about embarrassing stuff. Claire might use jazz hands, but they show up anyway, ready to learn and to grow. Y'all are amazing people. That's right. I want to thank the adult caregivers of our OWLettes. This is a huge time commitment they have all agreed to. Between the mandatory orientation sessions, bringing their kids each week, doing homework with our fifth graders, having those tough conversations in the car with their eighth graders, and being supportive and loving adults to our senior high youth and their friends. That's a lot of work, y'all. Thank you. I know sometimes people question why OWL is still needed in 2024. Or why, in our liberal, progressive bubble, OWL is still relevant, even if you're doing all the right things at home. We need OWL in 2024 because a local metro school district recently created a policy that allows families to opt out of LGBTQ plus books being read in class. Because even though abortion is healthcare, restrictions are killing pregnant people and increasing the rates of teen pregnancy after decades of decline. Because it's illegal in some states in the US to sell sex toys to consenting adults without a quote, prescription for marital support. Because even though Minnesota is a trans refuge state, the largest city in the state does not have a gender inclusion policy in their schools. Because Black maternal death rates are unconscionably high, as institutional racism in our supremacist culture harms Black parents and Black babies. Because even though we are only 2.5 months into this year, more than 455 anti-trans bills across the country in 41 states, including Minnesota, ranging from healthcare to youth sports to bathroom access. Because in 2022, Minnesota recorded more intimate partner violence and death than they had in the past decade. Because intersex babies are still having non-consensual surgeries on them, forever altering their bodies due to fear-based discrimination. Because toxic masculinity doesn't allow our children to feel their feelings or show their emotions beyond anger. Because OWL requires the audacious belief and action from a collective force beyond any one individual. Whew, that's a lot. So where do we go from here? Well, we're always looking for new people to join our OWL facilitation team. Whether it's working with our youngest OWLettes at 6 years old, to our middle school and high school youth, to our growing adult OWL programming, we need you. I would not be doing my job in March if I didn't tell you we needed your financial contributions. I shared in the pledge packets a little bit about the expenses incurred by the OWL program. Facilitation isn't for everyone, but perhaps you can share your financial abundance with us. I offer one additional area you can join us. We are considering working toward becoming a sacred congregation. That's the Spiritual Alliance of Communities for Reproductive Dignity, which is a national alliance of multiracial, multi-faith, multi-ethnic congregations, activists, collaborating to advance reproductive justice. As we look to the days ahead, let's commit to weaving the fabric of a future that reflects our most cherished values. If you're stirred to join this mission, let's talk. Together, we're not just dreaming of a better world, we're building it. May you take our messages and our hope and our needs and continue to support us in creating our beloved community. May it be so, and amen.
When I was a kid, my church hosted sex education classes on Saturdays, exclusively for the boys, and two Saturdays, to be exact. Even then, there was a hint at something revolutionary brewing, though we were miles away from the comprehensive understanding of sexuality we strive for here today. The curriculum sketched out the bare bones of sexual interaction. It was confined to a heterosexual box. The notion of gay sex was barely touched upon, veiled in a layer of controversy. I remember the confusion that washed over me when I first encountered the term bisexual. The explanations that were offered me were clear as mud, leaving me adrift in a sea of unanswered questions about feelings and consent and connection. Now, deeply ensconced within the Unitarian Universalist faith, I've navigated a complex landscape, to say the least. As a man who has sex with men, I've felt the weight of otherness, a disconnect between my identity and the community's comfort level. This dissonance, casting a shadow over my quest for spiritual support, underscores a broader struggle, the reconciliation of personal truth with collective ideals. It reveals the delicate balance between celebrating our faith's progress and acknowledging the journey ahead. But here lies a truth that we all must confront. Shame is not an inevitable sentence. It's a habit, a choice that can be undone, a chain waiting to be broken. This is about more than the ways that we have sex, though that needs plenty of our attention. It's about intimacy in all its forms, about daring to fully experience life, to touch deeply, to connect beyond words. It's about fostering a culture of embrace, eye contact, and showing through our actions that we genuinely care for one another. This level of connection, this profound intimacy, has the power to save lives. And so here we are at a pivotal moment, with the power to redefine our narrative right here, right now. Intimacy paves the way for understanding. It increases the likelihood of seeing each other's humanity, even in conflict. It's a bold assertion that sexual wellness and the acknowledgement of our vulnerabilities and passions can halt wars before they start, but that's the one I'm making. When we see one another as human beings, complete with desires, fears, and dreams, the space for conflict narrows. Thus, I urge you, as I'm urging myself today, go out into the world with the intent to be a catalyst for change. Bridge the gap with those you consider distant. Share a meal with someone from a walk of life, a different walk of life, and listen to their story, finding the points where your paths may intersect. Write a letter of forgiveness to release yourself from the weight of past conflicts. Notice and acknowledge the small acts of kindness all around you, making sure the people in your life understand their value to you. Plan moments of genuine connection, whether it's a surprise outing or a deep conversation that spans the night. Introduce the language of touch with respect and consent as a means to connect. A hug, a pat on the back, a handshake can convey the wealth of support and empathy that you hold. Venture into conversations about sexuality with openness. Engage in honest conversations about desires and boundaries. Embrace your body and your sexual feelings with kindness and acceptance. Acknowledge them as sources of joy and connection. Let your emotions break free from the cage of assumptions. If an email brightens your day, reply and tell somebody about it. If someone's gesture or words brighten your day, let them know. Offer support to those who struggle. Express humility when you struggle yourself. It's not enough just to applaud our young leaders, although that's what we're going to do. We can show them that we hear them by the changing of our heart's hardness. Check out the blueprint for the world we aspire to create, and you'll see that this is the beginning. This is the beginning of a world where love in all its forms can be openly recognized, celebrated, and cherished. A world where we can stand proudly and fully embrace who we are, who we love, and how we love. It's through these actions, through these commitments to understanding, acceptance, and compassion, that we forge a future where every aspect of our humanity has room to grow. And so that is our task. So may it be now. So may it be always. Friends, we've given you a lot of suggestions. And I recognize that for a lot of us, that is no easy thing to navigate. Our relationships with our bodies have been all different. For each one of us, there's a different relationship. And the call to be in touch with yourself can be immensely difficult. Will you hold community with me right now? Will you breathe with me and embrace the feelings that have come in this time together? Will you be gentle with yourself? Will you be kind with your reactions? Will you know your body as the home of God? As we go into the world now, as we go into our community, may you carry the compassion of your neighbors with you. Allow it to remind you of kindness to yourself. Start within. I know I will. And share with the world the gift of your whole self for your whole life. So may it be now and always. Will you sing with us? One more time as we go.
Where you go, I will go.
Thanks for listening. If you've been comforted or inspired by this podcast, please consider supporting our ministry. Podcasts are free to download, but they cost money to make. Visit firstuniversalistchurch.org/donate to make your gift. We'd love for you to join us in person or online on Sunday mornings. To learn more, visit us online at firstuniversalistchurch.org.
Go in peace, my friends.